Well, hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Georgiani with Jerry Usher, and you. That's what we've been saying for almost 8 years. We're talking about being in debt today, so it's going to be a very heavy topic. We don't want you to out yourself or anybody else in your family, but we want to talk, you know, what's going on financially with all of us, because we hear in the news that everybody's going paycheck to paycheck and running up their credit cards and doing all sorts of things, taking the equity out of their homes. And so it's really important we talk about it as Christians. And that's our topic today, Jerry.
That's right. We've titled it, Are You Debt Free? And I don't know that it's possible to be entirely debt free. Sometimes you maybe pay off some of the bigger things, but you have, you know, those couple of credit cards that you have a monthly payment for. And as Debbie said, we're not looking for details about your finances. That's your business. But we would love to know if you have managed to whittle down a lot of your payments. Maybe your mortgage is paid for. Maybe you've paid off some credit cards. And maybe this whole experience has just really freed you up in many, many ways to be able to manage your finances in a much more healthy way. I will state right up front, I was very much in debt several years ago just due to some ministry projects and things like that. And with God's help, you know, I've gotten the credit cards mostly paid down and I'm really close to being debt free. And I'll tell you, for me, it's a great feeling, you know, and we'd love to hear how, you know, you feel about that. If you have, maybe you are still strapped with some debt and you're looking to talk, you know, through some ideas about how to go about to, you know, scaling that down. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Well, you can be in our situation, and that is that if you have those mounting medical bills, it just seems like every single time there's a medical situation or a treatment or some kind of appointment, it's just money's just flying out the window, and it just adds up very quickly. It can be really tough on the family. And you can get very depressed about it. So let's talk about that as well. 833-288-3986. I'm just going to tell you right up front, I'll be working until the day I die because the medical bills are sky high. I mean, there's not much you can do. You know, we're in ministry, so we don't have, you know, a lot of, you know, the insurance that we have to, enroll in is not the same as everybody else that has, like, you know, corporate insurance and stuff like that, that is built into their work, which is great. I mean, if you have that, that's fabulous. I used to have that a long time ago, but it's tough. It's tough being in ministry, but I'm not complaining. Love talking about God. Love, love, love it. And we'll do it till the day I die. But it can be rough. So let's talk about everything. And maybe you have kids that came back home and they're living in your house and you don't know what to do and they're eating up all your food. But, you know, let's talk about everything. 833-288-3986.
Yeah, the key, what we want to do here is really dive into some situations, hopefully of yours, Take Two Family, as you're listening, about if you are debt-free, how you manage to do that. And, you know, maybe you work through an agency, maybe you found a financial counselor, maybe you just, you know, maybe as a husband and a wife, you got together, you sat down, put your heads together and said, okay, here's how we want to do this. Let's tackle this and just get it done. Maybe you had to make some major sacrifices in other areas of your life. The point is, there are probably way more people still deeply in debt than there are people out of debt or close to being out of debt. So, if you've managed to scale this mountain, you obviously will bring inspiration and hope to a lot of people who are listening right now on the program today. So, phones are starting to ring. Matt Gubensky will be busy on the phones in a moment. The number for you to call is 833-288-3986.
I think credit cards are really good in an emergency situation, but they're too tempting because when you go out to eat or you go out and, you know, you want to buy something, that's very easy to put down that little plastic card and worry about it later, right? And so I've gone back to the old-fashioned way. Do you remember when we were kids and we first learned money management back in the day, Jerry, about the envelopes? You put different envelopes. So remember the... what was it? The Christmas card, not the Christmas card, where the banks used to have the Christmas funds. Remember those things?
Yeah.
I can't remember that. My mother used to do that where you would put in so much money and then you'd have a Christmas, you know, fund, you know, available or stuff like that. Or my husband is really big on having different envelopes with different categories. I think it's just really important to have play the want and need mental exercise, you know, the things you really need, absolutely. The things you want, hey, maybe you could pass them up for a while. I don't know. I mean, I've become a minimalist as of last year. So I'm getting rid of everything. It's crazy. I mean, you can have all my stuff too, Jerry, if you want it. I mean, I'm done. I'm like, I don't want any more, you know, I don't want to accumulate stuff. How do you feel about that? Do you like all that clutter?
No, actually I don't. I've been trying to get rid of stuff too. And maybe you take to your family, maybe you've kind of set out on a course like that as well to really kind of simplify your life and get those bills paid off. And maybe that has freed you up to do, well, who knows what, as a couple, as an individual, as a family. A lot of people suggest setting up a bank account and making it kind of your emergency fund and making it a payment, making it a monthly payment along with all of your other bills that you pay. And once that builds up, it gives you a little bit of a cushion there. But if you feel like you're sort of drowning in debt right now, there are a lot of resources out there. In fact, I looked up on Catholic Answers' website. They have a Catholic Answers Guide to Family Finances by Phil Linehan. And we'll tell you more about that resource as we go along in the program today. But you have a chance to give great hope today to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. If you have scaled the mountain of getting debt-free, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
I love the Take-Two family. You guys are so awesome. You're always keeping us right in line and up to speed and up to date. It's called the Christmas Club account. Christmas Club,
oh, right,
remember that?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, the Christmas Club account. And I guess they still do exist. So you can set aside money for Christmas with your financial institution. And that's kind of like the envelope thing. I just think it's great to talk about it. You know, are you debt-free? And if you are debt-free, how did you do it? Do you feel really free? I mean, do you feel like you're just flying? You know, you're way ahead of everybody else. I think I just heard, was it 2 days ago? Is it 67% of people in the U.S., they're in financial trouble? I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, I didn't hear that figure, but it doesn't surprise me at all. So we would love to hear from you. We've got a couple of people on the lines and still a couple of lines open here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And you, it is your show, Take Two Family. Let's talk about this, and let's come away very much more filled with hope and filled with joy and peace, because there is a real peace and just a real, great feeling when you just don't owe a lot of money to anybody. 833-288-3986. Please call and join us.
We're talking about being debt-free today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You can use your confirmation name. We don't want you to out your family or your circumstances. We just want to get some of the details on how to become debt-free, especially if you've got a lot of medical bills. If you have any tips on that, that would be great. So please call in. Don't sit this out. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you are listening to Take Two, we are a safe platform for all of us to come together and share our experiences so we can learn and grow together. We learn, through each other's wisdom and trials and tribulations, everything we go through, all our experiences, our good, the bad, the ugly, everything. And that's how we grow together as the body of Christ. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, before we get to Bill in Kansas City, Missouri, I wanted to share with our listeners a great, great book, For Real, Christ's Presence in the Eucharist by Deacon Dennis Lambert. As Catholics, we are taught that Christ's real presence in the Eucharist began with Jesus sharing with his apostles, followed by their education from early church leaders. All through time, this has never changed, yet many don't truly accept what our church teaches. In this book, For Real, Christ's Presence in the Eucharist, Deacon Dennis Lambert, a cradle Catholic and former skeptic himself, presents evidence to radically change, affirm, or deepen your belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He also provides a thought-provoking way to share the truth with others. It's available now at EWTNRC.com. It has free standard shipping, $75 or more. The standard shipping is for the continental U.S. only, so don't forget to use code FREE at checkout.
Very good. Very important book there, given the state of belief in the real presence among even Catholics. About a third say that they believe in the real presence. So Folks, get that book. It's really a good contribution to the conversation. And do join us here. We have two open phone lines. Several are filled right now. So you're going to get right through at 833-288-3986. We want a hope-filled conversation about debt and getting out of it. And if any financial advisors are listening and you got some tips, please do join us. 833-288-3986. We will start, as Debbie said, with Bill in Kansas City, listening on Catholic Radio Network. Hello, Bill.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Just fine. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good morning to you guys.
Thanks.
I wanted to share a blessing that my wife and I have experienced. And this is one of the blessings about being debt-free. We have a lot of blessings. But early in our marriage, like many people would have, student loans, you come together marriage, maybe one's got a credit card debt, maybe the other doesn't. Then you get a house payment, and so you're hand to mouth, and you're sitting there saying, well, golly, we have a lot of debt. How are we ever going to get it forward? What we learned, and this is basic, and I don't want to say that one size fits all. Be very honest with one another. Be united in your goal together, and take them on one at a time. And what we still, like, we do a lot of engaged couples, and we have for years. And they're coming into a point in time in their life when one may not know what the other has in terms of debt, and they're getting ready to bring two lives together. My point is do it together, and it's amazing how you can remove debt from your life through honesty and togetherness in a marriage. That's our journey.
Wow. You know, Bill, that's very, very wise and profound. I mean, I've never been married, but I have heard so many instances of, you know, many marital problems stem from money management and how they're going to spend the money and what kind of debt, like you said, they bring into the marriage and so forth. I agree. Communication is key, honesty with one another. And it sounds like even Debbie starting this conversation well before you're married, you know, have some of these things, you know, worked out or talked through at least even before you get married. So then once you're together in marriage, you can just really set on a good course in these matters.
I totally agree. And to be, you know, of like mind in that area of finances, I've seen, I was in insurance for many years prior to going into ministry, Bill, and I used to see the biggest fights break out when you had to put everything out on the table and people really disclosed what was happening with the choices they were making financially and they didn't tell their spouse. It's devastating. It's a betrayal, and, you know, and it sets people back. It really makes people, you know, uneasy going forward. And I so agree with you, Bill. And, you know, it's when you think about it, it's so sad that money is the thing that breaks up so many relationships. It really does. You know, they say that marriages, the ongoing, never-ending argument is always about something to do with money with couples. And it's so unfortunate because, you know, we can't take it with us. We do need it to survive. But it's something that we put way too much emphasis on, I think, and it causes major relationship issues. What do you think about that, Bill?
So even if we have a case when perhaps someone might not be able to become completely debt-free, just the fact that we're working on it together, that we are commonly aligned and reducing it, is also a victory, okay? Mm-hmm. So the debt-free concept might not be possible for everyone, but to be working on it together is a victory in and of itself. The final comment is that I want to communicate to those who are thinking about marriage or possibly engaged. I think you should talk about when you're married, making sure that all your finances are no longer in each other's person's name. I think they should be all, and this isn't a Billism, this isn't me thinking, this is relevant experience, that they should be combined. Everything should be disclosed, all on the table. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very important to a good marriage.
I would think that's very, very wise as well, Bill. And in fact, Debbie and I do a lot of Catholic Radio pledge drives, and we always emphasize, we tell people, look, when you call, before you call in to make a pledge, talk to your spouse about it. Make sure you're on the same page of how much you're going to give. And there could be a lot of other expenses. You know, one needs a new mountain bike, and another we need some tennis rackets or golf clubs or something. And if they're out there just kind of spending their own money, or actually spending the mutual money that's in the same bank account together, you know, that could get some head scratching going. So, Bill, I think you make a lot of great points, and we're grateful that you called the program today. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
In closing, my wife and I love, we both believe in EWTN, and that's probably one of our favorite things that we give to. So thank you all for everything you do.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate that more than you know. Yeah.
That was wonderful. What a great gift he just gave us by those kind words. Full phone lines here. That's no surprise. Take two is always like that because we're a safe platform for you to come together and share. 833-288-3986. We do have a back waiting area, so why don't you call in and get into what we call the green room.
Yeah, it's comfortable. It's nicely appointed. Very comfortable room.
Very calm. Yeah. It's virtual. We're going to go to our buddy Jose in Denver, Colorado, EWTN app. Hello, Jose.
Hi, happy Easter. Not yet.
How
are you guys?
Good. It's been too long since we heard from you, Jose. Welcome back.
I've been on Facebook typing. My experience with my personal finances from living paycheck to paycheck have been a journey. I used to live paycheck to paycheck, and I was commented initially that I started just putting a dollar a day, a dollar in my wallet, and I will keep that dollar the entire week. Well, and I didn't spend that dollar, just keep that there. And on the following check, I put $2, and that turned into $5, $20, and so on. Until now, I even have savings. I'm even saving to buy a new house. But it was a long journey of being in debt, and at some point I owe my electricity, and it was up to $1,000, where now it takes automatically from my account. I don't even know how much I pay now, which is shameful. Some other things I don't spend on, like such as coffee, going to Starbucks every day. One of the daily homilies on the Daily Mass a few weeks ago, the priest said that he went to this chain brand company where we all buy coffee from, and he has a barista to add a prerogative name to his cup. So every time he would see down the cup, he would remember himself not to buy that coffee there, because it adds up, and it surely does. But every time he would remember that name, he would remember that he does have that coffee at home. I don't eat outside anymore. I try to cook at home, which I enjoy cooking myself. And there are many different ways to save money. But it was a long journey before I put myself there, and I start cutting expenses, but necessary expenses where I don't need them to have. You know, us millennials have a problem because we all want that coffee. We all want to have the experience of everything. And experiences are nice, but it's better when you stop yourself from going out every weekend, put that money aside, and maybe go to Miami later during the year.
Right.
It gives you that freedom, and rather than just spend. It has gotten so good that I always heard people say, oh, when you give more, you get more in return. And, you know, Debbie, firsthand yourself, I donate to my local Catholic radio. I give money to the Archdiocese. My local church where, shout out to, or Deacon Derek Johnson, you spoke to him the last time you were on the radio. He was invited to be on the annual collection that you guys do during the spring. But all those things took me to where now I'm able to give enough money to the church every Sunday, enough money to the Archdiocese on the Catholic Appeal, to the Catholic Radio on a monthly basis. And yes, when you give more, you get more. But before you give more, you got to take the steps, step back, look what you're doing wrong, and start putting money aside where, like you were just commenting on, I have money at home. I have money for all my spare dollars go into a little box that I keep at home. And I pay myself a salary every time I get paid. Sure. And that goes into a different account, not related to my primary account. And all that is to spare money that I have for myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jose, let me share something with you, because that goes along with what I was saying about the Christmas Club. And, you know, and I can say this because I know Marty's not listening because he's in a conference today. But Marty's birthday's in July. And so I started in January doing almost what you just said about, you know, pulling back and not just having those luxuries of going to the coffee shop or something like that. And I'm into this. I'm into the envelope thing. I just started it. That's just me. I'm such a manual person. I'm not a digital kind of tech person. I'm really like the old fashioned, you know, the envelopes and the old way we used to do things. And I started putting aside the money that I would have used for those things, like a cup of that gourmet coffee or whatever. And in January, this is no joke. Okay. We're at the end of March. I already have almost a little over $100 saved for Marty's birthday in July. And so what's so great about that is that then I don't have to worry about putting that on a credit card. I have it in the envelope. I can pay cash for the dinner for his birthday. I'm like super excited about it. And it seems like really kind of juvenile in a way, but actually it makes me feel good that I'm holding back and I'm pulling back from the wants, right, Jose and Jerry? And then now I have this like envelope that I can celebrate his birthday in July and feel good about it, not feel like, oh, now I got to pay the credit card. So I'm right with you, Jose. I think the old fashioned way of doing that, of just even putting that, you said, the dollar in your wallet and just holding it back, I think there's a lot of merit to that. What do you think, Jer?
I agree. Jose, you mentioned a lot of very creative ways of kind of putting a little bit of money aside here, a little bit over there. And we just have to, you know, learn to make decisions that will save us money. It takes discipline. Debbie talks about discipline. The want versus the need. Yep. It discipline. And you know what? You can do it. You can do it. Once you're doing it as a way of life, it's going to become easier and easier. And then the joy that you feel like Debbie's expressing right now is going to give you even extra inspiration and motivation. So it's kind of like a snowball thing. I think the early stages, Debbie, of that would be probably the most difficult, especially if you're used to having these little expenditures, treating yourself to all these little things. You know, cutting those out could be a little bit difficult, a little bit of a challenge. But once you've done it, I have to believe it's
almost addicting in a good way, because you start to say, I can do this, and there's more money in the envelope. You know, what do you think, Jose? What we shared?
I have a little piglet with coins. I got to that point that all my spare change was a little piggy, and I put it in there. And some people criticize me because, oh, you are so Mexican that you have cash with you all the time. And I'm like, cash is king. I don't have to use my credit cards. And if I don't have the cash, I don't spend any money. Because I'm very good with the credit cards and stuff. I can just go for days and days and days. Keep swiping that thing over and over and over. But at the end of the day, I forget that I have to pay that plastic thing back. And obviously with an interest. Do I want to keep doing that to myself? Again, you share that experience. We have a group of guys at work where we have what we call a tanda. It's like a little saving. So every other week we give $500 and after so many weeks, you get whatever you gathered from all the other guys, and it's given to you because it's like a savings plan in a way. So from January to next month, on the second week of the month, I get my money, and it's $4,000, putting $500 aside. And I can spend that money really easy if I wanted to, but that's money that I want to put towards my new house.
Mm-hmm. Wow, beautiful. Way to go. This is a prime example, Jose. You're putting it into something that is not only going to be really give you such a lot more joy in life and the joy of ownership and all of that, but it's going to be lasting and, you know, it's going to hold its value. So, way to go. Jose, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Glad to hear from you again. You know the saying, Debbie, I can't be out of money. I still have checks left. Hang on, Don in Buffalo. We have Don, Lily, Matthew, Liz, Albertus, and we've got an open phone line talking about getting out of debt, being out of debt, what that's done for you in your life, how it's made your life a lot easier. Maybe you're still on that struggle. 833-288-3986. Well, I think the show is going exactly as we hoped and prayed that it would, and that is we're hearing great things about getting out of debt, staying out of debt, creative ideas, and the beautiful way it kind of revolutionizes your life and makes you free, actually. You know, Proverbs 22 verse 4 says the borrower is the slave of the lender. So I think it's just a good thing to have a conversation like this, and we can all come away with some great ideas for making sure that we have a handle on our finances and aren't in over our heads. So got an open phone line if you want to join us, 833-288-3986. As promised, we'll go to Don in Buffalo, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hello, Don.
Hello, folks. Jerry, Debbie, good to
Welcome.
Talk to you folks again. Yeah.
Likewise.
I know, like you were saying, Debbie, you try to go old-fashioned. Well, I know I talked to you one time about, you know, the technology. I'm that Don. And you get the idea of who I am again. But I have talked a few times, of course, since then. But I know what this, the last caller there, what Jose did, and, of course, what you were saying, Debbie, and, of course, Jerry, you agreed, too, you know, just... You know, you just put yourself on a budget. I mean, that's a big thing. And I learned, you know, even from my financial advisor, where I was going when I was working, I said, geez, I got to get this money in here so I can retire, you know. And that's what helped me so much, because my folks had the same advisor. I ended up having a different advisor later, but she put me on a good course. And that's helped me a great deal. I mean, I just glad I don't have anything... pressing right now. I know I had hospital, you know, surgery last year, but I'm trying to stay ahead of the game the best I can. I mean, I was even talking to a pharmacist just recently about the prescription stuff, and you say, well, that kind of fluctuates too. I can handle that, you know, because the insurance covers it, you know, to an extent. But I mean, it's just sometimes it's, and what helps me too, I know a lot of people probably all around the world has credit cards. Well, the way I had credit cards would help me through my credit union is I use a credit card to there, and it comes out of my checking account. I mean, that's the way I did it, and I think that helped me, because they say, well, this is going to be tempted to have these other things that come in the mail, and they say, you know, over the years, it hasn't been too much lately, but... That's what helped me so much. So I don't know what your thoughts are about this, but I'm trying to help people the best I can on, you know, get a good financial advisor if you're young, mm-hmm. and, you know, that can put you on a good course too, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, when I hear financial advisor, you know, you see these commercials on TV, wealth management, financial advisors, and for some reason, that's always kind of struck me as being for those who have a lot of money. But it sounds like, and I don't want to know anything about your finances, Don, but maybe Debbie, you can comment on this. I guess I'm learning something new. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It would definitely help get a financial advisor. Yeah,
absolutely. In fact, financial advisors even like to give seminars and stuff for kids and for, you know, young adults to mm-hmm. get them started for investing. And like you're saying, Don, for discipline and just getting organized and handling money in the proper way. So, yeah, Jerry, I would not let that deter you from any. You know, you don't have to be, you know, a multimillionaire to have a financial planner or advisor. Just really, I would get somebody you trust and somebody who's really sound, who's not going to, you know, squander your money or hurt you in any way. And kind of and goes along with what your thinking is. And that's important. A financial advisor needs to be in sync with you. You can't have them doing something that's so different from what you wanted with your hard-earned money. What do you think, Don?
Well, yeah, I agree there, too. Of course, you know, a lot of my finances, I kind of wonder, you know, when she does the best she can on the stock market and everything else and stuff, you know, to try to get the right investment there. But like you were talking yesterday about wondering if these people are involved in the right situation as far as, you know, being in a Christian way or not mm-hmm. going on the wrong end of the stick. But... like I say, I wasn't that great on math myself, and I figure, well, this, and like I say, my folks had good luck with it, and you know, just coming from the company I did with, you know, it's been around for, been years, not a huge company, but I mean, not like General Motors or something, but, it's just, I don't know. I guess it's basically.
Yeah.
I guess basically that's what I. All I can say about it right now.
You're on top of it, Don. It sounds like you have been for a long time, and that's got to give you a lot of peace of mind, especially when you go to bed at night. So, you know, it's great to be able to put your head on the pillow and not stare at the ceiling all night wondering, you know, worrying about how much debt you're in and wondering how you're going to pay it off. So more power to you, Don. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. I think it was an email that came in. I just wanted to, this is kind of an aside, but it goes back to yesterday's program about, you know, doing business with corporations that are offensive in some of the things that they support. And an emailer mentioned the Knights of Columbus, which I probably should have mentioned on the show yesterday. What little I have invested is with the Knights of Columbus, and they avoid any, you know, investing in any companies that are morally objectionable. And another good thing about them is you don't maybe grow at the rate the stock market goes up sometimes, but you'll never go down. The Knights of Columbus guarantee your money. It's about a 3 or 4% you know, increase annually, and I think it's mm-hmm. voted on or decided each year. But you will never lose your money is guaranteed with the Knights of Columbus. I guess that's what I want to say.
And it's a conservative, safe approach, and that's actually really good. You know, the turtle does win the race. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to always go, you know, and really gamble and risk a lot to really do well in the long run, I think.
Yep.
I like the conservative approach. So I love the Knights of Columbus. I agree with you, Jerry. Do you want to hear what Lily has to say in South Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 130? Hello, Lily.
Hi, how are y'all today?
Great, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I just wanted to share some of the things we did when we were raising children. I was fortunate to be able to stay home and raise children, and we did without a lot. We didn't go out to eat. You know, I cooked all the time, and there are a lot of inexpensive meals you can put together if you do work, if you don't have time to do a lot of cooking. And nobody's going to want to do this. We didn't use our air conditioning unless it was like 98 degrees, and then we would turn it on and just cool down the house. Mm-hmm. But we kept the windows open and used fans to stay cool, which saved a lot of money. And we put our TV in the attic for 3 years, primarily because there was nothing for our children to see on TV at that time. But it also saved us a TV bill. So, you know, there are a lot of, and we did the envelope thing that you did or do. Mm-hmm. We had everything budgeted, and that helped tremendously, too. So those are the things I wanted to share.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have a quick comment, Lily. I think this is very, very helpful to a lot of people because I think people just need to hear the tips, the kinds of tips that you're offering here on the program today, and then kind of meditate on those and ponder them. And I think the light bulb will go off, Debbie and Lily. I think people will go, you know, I can do this. You know, I think there are a lot of people who just think, you know, it's just too much work. It's too hard. You know, debt is just a factor of life. Got to learn to live mm-hmm. with it. But you know what? Once they hear that there are ways to do it that are creative and not all that difficult, they're actually very easy, mm-hmm. then I think people get their eyes open and it could really change the way a lot of people look at this.
I totally agree. And actually, you can flip it, Lily. Tell me if that's what happened in your experience. When you start to save money, it almost becomes like a game, if you will, or you know, you get addicted to saving money, right? And it's you get past that thing of feeling like you're depriving yourself. It's like, wow, I'm saving here and I'm saving there. And if I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich instead of a hamburger, I'm saving $3. And you start to become, in my opinion, it's kind of exciting. Then you start to save in that way. And then you can use that money for other things that you need to do, and then before you know it, everything balances out. I think the thing that we probably all have to get over is this idea that we are depriving ourselves in some way of a luxury that we somehow deserve. And I think if we can just maybe jump over that, it can be something that becomes very rewarding for all around us, actually, because the money, you know, the money flows, let's face it. If you're married, you have family, the money flows to everybody. So what do you think of that, Lily? Did it get to that point where you just, like, I get really excited about saving money.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do, too. My husband's the one who's the financial guy, and he loves to save money. So, you know, I just kind of followed his lead. But, you know, one of the things you said is very true. We can't have everything we want. Nobody gets everything they want. So, and we tried to teach our children that, too, that even at Christmas, they never got everything they wanted at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we had a Christmas club also, and we had one for them, too. So it gave them some pleasure buying for other people. And so it's just a matter of discipline and what you get used to. And it gives you a lot of joy when you don't have a lot of big bills coming in.
And another beautiful aspect of the way you did this, Lily, is your kids are going to grow up and they're going to be, you know, the word frugal came to mind, but I think just prudent. I think that prudent might be a better word. They're already going to have a good sense of, you know, how to handle their money and their finances. And, you know, that just creates, you know, it's a ripple effect, you know, from you and your husband to your kids and presumably, hopefully, to your grandkids and so forth. So way to go, Lily. Thank you. Will you call us again sometime?
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Ann is in Emily City, Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling.
This is my first time calling ever. My parents love listening to you guys, so I just started listening probably like 3 months ago, and I'm obsessed, and I listen to Mass every morning, too. So the reason I'm calling is I worked in the banking industry for 7 years. I was just a banker. I was technically, I would switch from the teller line and to the office. My biggest thing working there, they wanted us to sell credit cards constantly to our customers. And it didn't matter if Deborah already had two with us. They wanted us to sell the third brand new card to her. There is no reason why we would need more than one credit card. It got kind of out of control where I just felt like it was unethical to sell that many cards to someone when we don't know what their credit is until we pull the credit card. But why would she need that? And then they would also suggest sometimes like, okay, well, she has an old one. That's obsolete. Well, that old one, it could be 7 years old. Well, that's good for her credit. You know, that's her oldest card. Why would we be getting rid of that to open up a new one? So it just, you know, people really have to realize, too, do I need a new credit card? Do I need, when you're walking in that bank, make sure you go in firm, like, I do not need something new. And it's hard because that's our job as the banker or as on the teller line to sell those things to our customers. And we get, you know, you get kind of graded, like, okay, did she sell this many this week? Did she sell this many this month? You know, so it's hard in the banking industry when you're working in it, but I mean, I couldn't do it anymore, so I had to quit. You know, after 7 years, I was just kind of miserable. I didn't feel like, you know, it was for me. And not only do they get their customers, they get their employees, because I had three at one point when I was there. And I mean, I had big balances on them, and I was like at the bank working, and you know, I just felt like, all right, well, all my money's going to the credit cards that I have. So, you
know. Wow. Well, Ann, I want to circle back. First of all, thank you for being a first-time caller. You're never going to be that again, so we need you to call us again. Stay in touch with us. Thank you for loving the shows that you're hearing on EWTN. Please thank your parents for being longtime listeners. They sound wonderful. And I agree with you. I mean, you know, here you're in a job in the bank where you're pushing actually for people to go into debt, if you think about it. I mean, you need to do your part, you know, selling them or encouraging them to go into another credit card or another agreement. And, you know, they may not be ready for it. It's very enticing, especially like Jerry wrote over just about 2 seconds ago about how they have the added perks, like if it's 0% interest or airline miles or this or that. And then so people say, oh, okay, you know, 0% interest. Well, I can transfer balances. I can do this. And they start to go into that, you know, kind of, I think it's like almost like a gerbil wheel. You know, it keeps going around and around. You don't really go anywhere, and you get buried in debt. And I think it's great that you recognized it. The problem is I don't even know how we stop it because it's everywhere. And Jerry typed over again, and he's spot on. I mean, I looked for research for this show last night. And in my email box, there were three offers for credit cards, three. I mean, so it's just, it's coming at you from all sides. And it's, and it is, you know, and if you are kind of struggling or you do have medical bills or something, it is very tempting to say, okay, I'll do one more credit card because that'll take care of $5,000 of the bills or whatever. And so, you know, I don't know how to end this other than, you know, what it goes back to what Lily was saying of just really pulling back and just being very wise about the decisions you make financially. What do you think, Ann?
Yeah, no, I agree. And honestly, with those medical bills that people need to know too, like if it's from a hospital, get on a plan. You don't have to pay that all at once. If you pay $20 a month, they're not going to come after you. They can't.
Right.
So that's right. That's another thing. Like you don't need to transfer that to a credit card just for it to, let's say the 0% for 12 months is up. Well, now you're paying all that interest and you're paying your medical bill. So if you call the hospital, if you call somewhere, they will get you on a plan and it's interest free. You know, that's the way to do that. For we had major problems with my husband with allergies. We went to the hospital like 3 times. I have tons of medical bills right now. We're on a small little plan for them though. I'm not going to throw them on, you know, a credit card or a loan because why would I pay extra interest? I know I'm going to pay them back, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, that's just my take on it. I got rid of all the cards. And another thing, if someone has a $10,000 limit on their card, you can call that card and say, I only want a $1,000 limit or $2,000 limit for emergencies. If they want to use that for emergencies, you know, like your tire goes out or something like that. But there's no reason that we need a $15,000, a $10,000 limit. What are we doing with that? We're, you know, that's just too much. So
very wise. Yeah. Very wise, Ann. And with your experience, you've really made a great contribution to the program today. Don't be a stranger. Call us again and thank your parents for listening to the program as well. And we hope that you will call us again. And God bless you. Appreciate that. I still have several credit cards just because over the years I've kind of stockpiled them when I was, you know, doing my Third Millennium Media business and we had a lot of ministry projects going on. I used to use them like cash and then just pay them off at the end of the month. I no longer use them. I've had to sacrifice a lot of free flights and stuff like that. But, you know, I'd rather enjoy the great feeling of not having large amounts of debt.
Right.
You know, so I still use them for some minimal home expenses, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's what Marty does too. But I was kind of bummed because, you know, as Ann was talking about establishing good credit, I had a credit card since 1985 when I first came out to Arizona. It was a Costco card. You know how you get the Costco points too? And they dropped my card for no reason. And I was so upset. And you lose that buildup of credit, you know. So I do understand that. I mean, I think that is really important. And I was really bummed. Not just because you love Costco, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I make a pilgrimage every now and then.
Now, I haven't been in like a year. Is it still the same? Just an abundance of stuff?
Oh yeah, yeah. Everything you need, and a lot of things you don't,
and a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to quickly mention Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, Monday through Friday mornings, 9 Eastern time here on EWTN Radio. Teresa Tomeo and her guests share their Catholic perspective on the day's news and newsmakers, folks. Very important program. Make a habit of tuning in. Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, weekday mornings, 9 Eastern time on EWTN Radio. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just going back to Ann again, because she really gave me a lot of good reminders. She's spot on about calling the hospitals and the doctors. And if you talk to them, I have one great doctor that actually gives me a discount. And they're so nice. And they let you pay over time. And it does help. So Ann is spot on. Thank you again. Matthew is up next, waiting patiently in Indiana on EWTN.com. Hello, Matthew.
Good morning. How are you two?
Doing well. How are you?
Hope that you are too. You are too.
Well, I'm doing okay. I don't know if this fits in, but for over 20 years, and I mean over 20 years, I met a woman, and her husband never paid child support, never did anything financially for him, and he was making copious amounts of money. The strange thing about it is the more money that, and the longer I worked, and I worked going to school, and I worked in a job that was manually exhausting by the end of the day, and it was never good enough for her, and she ended up, we ended up getting a divorce, I haven't seen my kids in over 20 years. Mm. And I remember the more money I made, the more she would spend it and spend it and spend it. And I just couldn't keep up. And, you know, there's a point, and Debbie struck a chord, and I kind of smiled, you know, about putting money back in an envelope. You know, it sounds simple, but I'm telling you, it's important. You build it up, and, you know, you can pat yourself on the back. And I applaud you, Debbie and Jerry, because both of you sound like you're doing it. Jerry, how much did you pay for the water you're drinking?
I don't know. I got a case of it at Costco, about $5 plus California redemption value, which is half as much as the water.
Yeah. Well, I just didn't want you to pass away some savings. Mm-hmm. You know, so return your bottles if you can, get the money if you can. But I really appreciate the show. I'm just sorry my story isn't a happy one. And I have yet, it's been over 20 years, and I haven't seen my kids.
Oh, man.
That's heartbreaking, Matthew.
I guess the first question that comes to my mind, Matthew, was your wife a woman of faith? I mean, was she a practicing Catholic, a Christian, or was she practicing any kind of faith?
She was a Catholic in the beginning. I met her on a church retreat, on a Catholic retreat weekend, and it went all downhill after that. And she just, I don't know what went through her hand, what gripped her, but she turned into a completely different person. And I just, like I said, the harder I worked to make things good for her and the kids, the more selfish they got, the more they wanted. And, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. You got to be careful, you know, saving money. And I think Debbie has it down pat. You're saving for your husband. You know what? Not only does that say in July, I love you, but you mean something because you're doing an act that is self-sacrificial. And in the end, you get to share and spend on the person you love and respect. Mm-hmm. And I never got that. The most I got was at Christmas time. She cussed me out in front of my 3-year-old daughter and gave me a pair of tube socks with a price tag on them.
There's not much you can say about her. I mean, there's a lot you can say about her, but, you know, I'll reserve that because, you know, just the thing that comes to mind is 1 Timothy 6:10, you know, love of money is the root of all evil. And our dear friend, Matthew, you have experienced a lot of evil in your life, not calling her evil. I'm just saying, you know, some of the things she has done have been, you know, radically unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, evil deeds.
Yep.
And, you know, our hearts go out to you, brother, and I know Debbie will join me in promising you our prayers, especially that you get to see your kids sometime again soon. You missed a lot of their lives,
yep.
And, you know, we're definitely going to pray for that, Debbie.
I wanted to say this thing. I went through the Catholic annulment process. Mm-hmm. It may take a long time, but I'm telling the folks listening and you, Debbie and Jerry, mm-hmm. it's well worth it. Our faith as Christians is to keep loving even though we're not loved. And I'll tell you, that's the hardest lesson that I've had to continue to learn.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's
Matthew, let me
Christ-like.
Share something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Your name means a gift of God, and you did all the beautiful things for your wife and your children because of the love you have for God. So they're from God. They'll go back to God. You did it all for God. Matthew, please stay close to your guardian angel. Ask your guardian angel to go to your kid's guardian angel. Stay connected from the spiritual side. And Matthew, we're just going to pray for you that you are reunited with your children, and many blessings to you on this side of the veil. But when you finish your time here on earth, Matthew, I want the best for you on the other side of the veil. I really do, because you sound like a beautiful soul who has given so much. So always remember the bigger picture. Okay, Matthew?
I do. And I'll tell you what, if it weren't for God's love, unconditional, I don't know where I'd be, but I'll tell you, faith is everything, and I praise God for you, Debbie, for Jerry, for the whole staff in EWT Radio, because like the other person said, I watch Mass every single day, and I'll tell you, you can't live without it.
Amen.
Matthew, thanks for the kind comments, and he mentioned Jerry and Debbie, but he also said the other people. That would be Ace McKay, our producer, Matt Gabinski, our call screener, Jeff Burson on social media. A lot of people go into making the show what it is, Debbie, especially the Take-Two family, and they just nailed it today.
Absolutely. You guys are amazing. We're not going to get to the rest of the calls today. Please forgive us. You can always email us, take2@ewtn.com. Don't forget that. And that's a way to stay connected with us. And Jerry, I know we got You Choose Week coming up, April 24th through the 28th.
Yeah, what would you like to talk about that week? It's entirely up to you. Debbie and I are taking that week off, not from the show, but from picking topics. So go to take2show.com, hit the Submit Today button. Let us know what you'd like to talk about April 24th through the 28th. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, pray for us.